I'd like to say good morning to everyone and also welcome our visitors that we have. It's always an honor to be able to stand before you to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was just thinking that in this month of July, we have had 4 different gospel preachers proclaim the gospel of Christ. So we have had a variety in a number of different styles, but still the word of God has been proclaimed, and we can be thankful for that. This morning, our scripture reading will be taken from Psalms 73 and verses 27 and 28. I'll be reading from the King James Version. The Bible says, "For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works." I like to take my sermon title from the scripture that we just read, where the Bible says, "But it is good for me to draw near to God." It is good for me to draw near to God. And in this message this morning, it is my goal to encourage you to draw closer to God, that you might have a right relationship with Him instead of being alienated from Him. We also find in Psalms 34 and verse number 18, the Bible says, "The Lord is nigh," or "close unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." So we find that being close to God, you must have a broken heart. You have to have a contrite heart. Well, what does all of that mean? We don't usually use the word contrite. Well, a broken heart and a contrite heart are minds who have allowed the spirit of truth to crush or to bruise their spirit, to convict them of their sins with sorrowful remorse. Because the word contrite literally means to crush. And when the word of God has that impact upon us to a point where we become remorseful for our sins, we can have a spirit within ourselves that we can draw closer to Him. We are reminded of, one, the Apostle Peter. We recall that Jesus told Peter that he would deny him 3 times. And at the time, of course, Peter did not believe that at all. But as Jesus was captured, and we find that the Apostle Peter did just that. He denied Jesus 3 times. But we also find in Matthew chapter number 26 that Peter had a remorseful spirit about what he had done. In Matthew chapter number 26, in verse number 75, the Bible says, "And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Now listen to these last few words. "And he went out and wept bitterly." Why did he weep bitterly? Because he had a broken heart. Because his spirit was crushed, that he had disappointed his Lord and his God. And this remorseful spirit led him to greater service for the Lord, as we spoke earlier in Bible class this morning. So we find that it is important for us to have a broken heart as we draw closer to God. However, it is an unfortunate statement that many people have failed to draw closer to God. Many people fail to draw closer to God because they have an obscured view of God. They have an incorrect view of God. Some have a transcendent only view of God as being far or distant and uninvolved due to God's great power and his infinite knowledge. But we find in Psalms chapter 147 and verse 5 that he has great power and his understanding is infinite. And we also know that some people have a deism concept in that they view God as the great clock maker, as God created the world and he wound up the clock and just let it go. And he's uninvolved with the affairs of the creation that he has made. And some people give that as a reason not to draw closer to God. But we know by reading the scriptures that God is involved in the affairs of his creation. We remember in the book of Genesis, after Adam and Eve had sinned and they learned that they were naked, what did God do? Was he uninvolved? No, because God provided Adam and Eve with coats of skin, a tunic to cover themselves. God is involved in our lives. And even when the children of Israel in the book of Exodus cried because of their bitter bondage, was God unresponsive? Of course not. He sent his servant Moses to deliver them. And he also sent Jesus Christ to save us from our sins. We also learn that others do not draw close to God because they blame him or God for the thorns and briars in their life. Don't so many people do that today? They blame all the bad things on the Lord and they refuse to draw closer to him. But people should know that God gives us all the good and perfect gifts. In the book of James, chapter number 1, in verse number 17. In James chapter number 1, in verse number 17, the Bible says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So God is a blessing to us. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, that we might have life, as the Bible teaches in John chapter 10 and verse 10. And thirdly, we also learn that a great number will not draw near to God because they have become friends with the world. They've become friends with the world. And if you are friends with the world, what type of relationship will you have with God? Well, the Bible teaches us that if you are a friend of the world, you will be an enemy of God. You'll be an enemy of God. In James chapter 4 and verse number 4, the word of God says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So we find many people, for different reasons, will not draw closer to God. But it is good for me and you to draw closer to God. It is good for me to draw to God because it is through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that I can be reunited with God and have everlasting life. This is why it is good for us to draw near to God. It is good for you and I to draw nearer or closer to God because we can have all of our sins forgiven in Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter number 1, in Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse 3, the Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And if we drop down to verse number 7, God says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to his riches and his grace." That's why we should draw closer to God, because Jesus sacrificed his life that we might be reconciled with him, that all of our sins might be washed away, that we might be one with the Father, with the Spirit, and with Jesus Christ. Because it is good for you and I to draw nearer to God. Also, our text for this morning that we'll spend most of our time in is in Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 22. In Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 22. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 22, where the Bible says, "Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. One of the essentials of becoming a Christian and drawing closer to God is having a pure heart. If you want to draw closer to God, you must have a pure heart. As we just read in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22, the first part of that verse says, "Let us draw near with a true heart." A true heart. A true heart is a heart that is free from or mixed with any thing that defiles. So we need to have a heart that's pure, without contaminants, without sin, without things that would be destructive to ourselves. And we realize that a heart free from these things can't be mixed with things that are evil, things that God despises. We cannot expect to draw near to God if we teeter-totter with God, which we sometimes do at times. Sometimes we may have been guilty of trying to come to church on Sunday morning, but living for the world during the rest of the week. You cannot get closer to God by living your life that way. You have to dedicate yourself to God. You must purify yourself by obeying the truth, which the Bible teaches us to do in First Peter chapter 1 and verse number 22. In Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 22, we learn that we cannot serve two masters. We can't serve two masters. We can't try to serve Jesus on Sunday and the world through the rest of the week. It doesn't work at all. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, Jesus says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." You have to make a choice. You have to put God first in your life. You have to devote your all to God. In Psalms chapter number 24, in Psalms chapter number 24, in verses 3 through 5, we find the word of the Lord describes the type of character who will be able to dwell with him. And we hope this morning that all of us want to be able to dwell with the Lord. In Psalms chapter number 24, let us notice some of the characteristics of those that will be able to dwell with the Lord. In Psalms chapter 24 and verse 3, the Bible says, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place?" Verse 4 says, "He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation." So we find that characteristic of those that will be able to ascend to the hill of the Lord. And those characteristics we find in verse number 4. He that have clean hands. Clean hands. That's a symbol for being clean, without sin, being pure, as the verse continues to say, and a pure heart. We have to have a pure heart if we are going to draw closer to God. Also in the book of James, chapter number 4, teaches us the exact same thing. In James chapter number 4 and verse number 8, in James chapter number 4 and verse 8, the Bible says, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." So we recognize it is good and wonderful for us to draw nearer to God. Also, this type of character of having a true heart will require you to deny yourself and follow Jesus to gain the blessings of having a right relationship with God. You have to be willing to let go of self and be willing to give God your all. We find in the Gospel of Mark chapter number 8. In Mark chapter number 8. In Mark chapter number 8 and verse number 34. The Bible says, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. We have to be willing to lose our lives in order to save it, to get closer to God, to have a close relationship with God. And if we love the things of this world so much that it is going to squeeze God out, that's not going to do us any good at all. Because the things of this world is not going to get us closer to God. We need to be willing to love God. We need to be willing to give our all to God. And we find also in Matthew chapter number 19, the rich young ruler in Matthew chapter number 19 and verses 16 through 22. This young ruler had a desire to get closer to God. He had a desire to have eternal life. And he came to Jesus asking what he needed to do to obtain eternal life. But this young rich ruler was unwilling to do the things that were necessary for him to obtain eternal life and to get closer to God. We find in Matthew chapter 19, beginning at verse number 16, the Bible says, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In verse 20, the young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? What is missing? I've been obeying the Ten Commandments since I was a youngster. But Jesus says in verse number 21, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. This ruler wanted to know how to get closer to God. He wanted to know how to obtain eternal life. And when Jesus told him what to do to get closer to God and to obtain eternal life, guess what he did? He rejected the offer. Why did he reject the offer? Because he loved money more than he loved God. He loved the world more than he loved God. And if you cannot get self, remove self, you will never come to God. You will never get closer to God until you come to that point. Because in verse number 22, the Bible says, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Isn't that sad? He could have went away rejoicing, like the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts chapter 8, when he obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ and was baptized. But this man failed to submit himself to God, and he went away sorrowful. And that's a great lesson for us, because we need not to go away sorrowful. We need to submit ourselves to God. We just need to give up self and take up our cross and follow Jesus and be with him. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. We draw closer to God by having a true heart in full assurance of faith in God. In Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 17, the Bible teaches us, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we understand how important faith is to our salvation. We must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We must believe in the words of God, the commandments of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is a complete trusting in what God says is true and acting on it and obeying on it. I kind of like to call this, you know what you know is right because God said it. And we see that throughout the scriptures. When we look at God's servant Noah, God told him that he was going to destroy the world because the world was evil. And God told Noah to build an ark. Build an ark. Noah didn't question that. He just did it. He obeyed what God said. He believed it. And he did it. He built the ark for about 120 years and he preached the gospel to all the people to get into that ark. And because Noah believed God, he was blessed. When the test came, when the storms came, when the rains came, the Lord blessed him because he was in the place of salvation because he believed God. The same thing we learn from Abraham. He trusted God. God told him to leave his hometown to a country where he would show him. And he put his trust in God. He put his belief in God. God told him to offer up his son as a burnt sacrifice. And what did he do again? He believed God. He obeyed God. That's what also we need to do in our lives to draw closer to him. In Proverbs chapter number 3, in the book of Proverbs chapter number 3, we learn about trusting God. In Proverbs chapter number 3 and verse 5, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Trust in the Lord, and he will bless you. Trust in the Lord, even when you don't understand what God is trying to do. Trust in the Lord, because he will take care of you. He will protect you. He will provide you, and he will bless you. That's why it is good to draw closer to God. Also, your hearts must be sprinkled from an evil conscience and washed in pure water. Your hearts must be sprinkled from an evil conscience and washed in pure water. If we go back to our lesson text in Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 22, the Bible says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." The Hebrew writer says to draw closer to God, your hearts needs to be sprinkled from an evil conscience. It needs to be sprinkled from an evil conscience. And it's kind of what we talked about before, about having a contrite spirit, being sorrowful for the things that we have learned, that we have done, that are displeasing in the sight of God. We find in the book of 2 Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 7 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of this world worketh death." You and I need to have sorrow and remorse for the things that we have done. In the Old Testament, the blood of animals was sprinkled by the priest on the altar to make atonement for their souls. You can read about that in Leviticus chapter 1 and verses 1 through 9 and chapter 1 verses 10 through 13. In the New Testament, your sins are made clean through the blood of the Lamb, through Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter number 1 and verses 5 and 6, we find these words. In Revelation chapter 1, beginning at verse 5, the Bible says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Jesus Christ is the one that has made it possible for you and I to be closer to him through his blood. And how do we get to his blood? To be purified, to have our sins washed away. Well, in our text, the Bible says our hearts must be sprinkled from an evil conscience, repentance, and washed with pure water. That's baptism. That's being immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, where we come in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ. To draw closer to God, we must recognize that there is a barrier. There's a barrier called sin keeping us separated from God. And you and I can be brought near to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter number 2, in Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 13, the Bible says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace who hath made us both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace through the blood of the Lamb, through the blood of the cross. We can draw closer to God. We can have our sins washed away. We can have a right relationship with God. And if you don't have a right relationship with God, you need to make a decision to draw closer to Him. Because Jesus Christ died on the cross. He was crucified on the cross for the sins of the whole world. He died. He was taken down from that cross. He was buried in a tomb. But on the third day, God raised him from the dead. He becoming victorious over sin and death. And you and I can be victorious over sin if we draw closer to God. If we decide to hear the wonderful message of salvation that will save our souls. If we would make a decision to believe in the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said in John chapter number 8 and verse number 24, "If ye believe that I am not he, you shall die in your sins." You must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You also must repent of your sins that we just finished talking about. You must be willing to make a change. You must be willing to purify your heart by obeying the truth. You must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. In Matthew chapter number 10 and verse 32 and 33, Jesus teaches us that if you confess him before the world, Jesus will confess you before his Father. Why not confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God? Why not decide to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins? Coming in contact with the wonderful life-saving blood of Jesus Christ, that you'll be healed, that you'll be cleansed, and you'll be saved and have a right relationship with God. Don't you want to have that joy? Don't you want to have that peace by being close to God? Don't you want to have that protection and that love of knowing that whatever happens to you in this life, that God will raise you up in that blessed day to be with him forevermore? And if you're a Christian this morning, if you have erred from the truth, if you have gotten farther away from God, you need to make the decision to come back, to repent of your sin. And we'll encourage you, we'll pray with you and help you that you might draw closer to him. Why not draw closer to him this morning as we all stand and sing?